strong self-control right there.
That's what that is.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Don't forget, you can email us as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up on Monday's program, we'll be starting an hour earlier, of course. On Monday, Peter Carlin is actually back from California. He's going to be in the studio with us to inaugurate our new four-hour show. So beginning Monday's four-hour program, 11 a. to 3 p., as they say in radio. Also, Stephanie Miller going an extra hour till 10 a.m. Weekdays. There you go. 33% more of the program beginning Monday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Coming up later on today, CNN radio correspondent James Roop. Jen Lane will be here from Barfly Magazine. We'll talk about the top 10 Ron Popeil inventions just for Tim Riley. And Sarah is armed with all manner of Rockstar Supernova spoilers, which I do not wish to know at this point.
Oh, they were just posted.
See, we got to do the recap first before you give spoilers. You can't spoil now because then it makes the recap, it takes the air out of it.
Well, I didn't spoil anything for you when I told you what I did.
You almost did, though. See, if I hadn't said, I don't want to know.
That was what I was cheering about.
I don't know what you were cheering about. When? Just now?
If Delana gets reamed tonight.
All right. Well,
I am stoked about that.
Okay, but that's not a spoiler. Well, that's not a spoiler as such. That's a half spoiler.
Well, that's a good thing because a lot of people were mad yesterday that it wasn't brought up.
I'm mad that she's a talentless hack who continues to. And that's for me to call somebody a talentless hack is really. That's saying something right there. I'm just mad. And I don't want to get off on the whole thing now because if we do it now, then it's going to take over the rest of the show like everything. But here's the thing. Every week, and it's not the same guy every week or the same couple of people every week, but every week I'll get a few emails, not a lot, but a few, from people who say one of three things. A, that Storm isn't as good as we think she is, that we just see her through Storm-colored glasses because we're friends. Which, I'm not saying that that's the case, but I'm saying I can see how someone might feel that way. You know what I mean? Like, if you were an outside observer listening to us, because let's be honest, let's just call it the way it is. Let's say in an alternate universe, Storm wasn't that great. We would, of course, still have to cheer for her and root for her and be like, she killed it, she rocked, she crushed it, because she's our friend and we go back a long time, and we'd still have to root for her. Now, fortunately, in this reality, Storm is also the best contestant and the best singer on the show, in our opinion. So we don't have to sort of live a lie. But I can see how maybe people would just assume, if they're not a big Storm fan, that we just root for her because we're pals. Or someone will tell me that I've got Delana all wrong and that she really is talented and she has a great vocal range and she's a fantastic singer.
And she didn't mean to be a backstabbing whore.
She didn't mean to be a pig-faced bitch.
It's just in her genes.
Wait, hold on. Let me see if I can find... Can I edit this Sarah Dillon as a whore thing to... Can I just say Delana? No,
can we clarify what the Sarah Dillon is a whore thing? I wanted Scotty...
Sarah Dillon, you're a goddamn whore.
I told Scotty to segment when I was calling you a whore.
You can't fake it now. If you just say it now and he cuts it out, it's not the same. It lacks the panache of being actual found sound. So,
patty cake.
All right. So anyway, so people will either say that Storm is overrated, people will say that Delana is underrated, or the email will be a combination of both. That we give Storm too much credit, we don't give Delana enough credit, and blah, 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 blah. So we
gave Delana plenty. Okay, yeah, let's not get into it.
I didn't. No, I'm proud to say that I hated her from the beginning.
You did?
From the very beginning, I thought that she was not all that good. I thought she was a one-trick pony. I still do. And also, from the very first episode, whether people like him or not, I said from the first episode that Lucas was going to go all the way to the final three, if not win. And I stand by that. I stand by the fact that it still might be Lucas who wins. I'm not going to sit here and tell you Storm's going to win. I don't know. I got nothing. We do have coming up later on a really interesting theory about that, though. I don't mean to be like, coming up later on in a broadcast. But somebody does have a pretty interesting theory about how this whole thing is going to resolve itself, which is one that I have not heard before. So we'll get to that later. But first, Tim Riley is at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, hello again.
Hello.
Well, John McCain is out campaigning for his favorite candidates in the state of Iowa. Iowa.
Okay.
And he says he's disappointed how the Bush administration is conducting the war on
it has
terror.
Contributed enormously to the frustration that Americans feel today because they were led to believe that this would be some kind of a day at the beach.
Is that he's being attacked by the queen alien at the end?
It has contributed enormously to the frustration that Americans feel today because they were led to believe that this would be some kind of a day at the beach.
Seriously, that's right before the second set of steel jaws shoots out and takes out part of his spine. That's fantastic. That's right before Ripley comes out of the power loader.
Senator McCain recalls the glib remarks made about the war.
Stuff happens. Mission accomplished. Last throws. Few dead enders. I'm more familiar with those statements than anyone else because it grieves me so much that we have not told the American people how tough and difficult this task would be.
I just don't get that guy. I don't get him. I don't get him. I don't get him. John McCain is just a mystery to me because he ran so hard against George Bush. And then the Bush people allegedly smeared him and used the horrible campaign of personal vilification against him. But then lately it seems like it's a whole lot of him buddying up to George Bush and,
Falwell.
Yeah, and siding with the Bush administration, which again, it's not like everybody has to be on a side. I'm just saying from a political point of view, I can't figure out what his deal is. He really just seems to be playing both sides of the fence, which... It's strange because the appeal of John McCain is that he is allegedly such a straight talker, where he just gives it to you unvarnished, that he's sort of you know what John McCain is? John McCain is a little bit more of a focus grouped version of Pat Buchanan. That's totally what he is. If you were to take Pat Buchanan, because Pat Buchanan is way too distilled, I guess, maybe that's the word. Pat Buchanan is sort of just a, I don't want to say Everclear, Sarah, what's the strongest drink? What's the strongest, like, when you say, give me a shot of...
Absinthe.
Absinthe. Buchanan's not absinthe. Buchanan's not the green fairy. He's a thing, though. He's a really strong where you take it and you put it down and it's, you know, it does the job, but it's just too much. Too much for one man to drink. That's what Pat Buchanan is. John McCain is Pat Buchanan with, like, a little umbrella in him.
Meanwhile, 17% say they would pick John McCain for president in 2008.
I'm sorry, that went
for Rudy Giuliani. That's why I picked up the flag here. Okay. The poll in yesterday's all-important Quad City Times shows 29% are undecided.
Okay, there you go. So, anyway. Yeah, he is sort of a...
He is who he is.
Because Pat Buchanan didn't serve. That's the other thing. Pat Buchanan didn't serve in the military. So if you were to take Pat Buchanan, get rid of some of his... Pat Buchanan has that... That Bill O'Reilly thing, though, where you feel like he, at any given moment, is just going to jump across the lectern and just throttle you and kick your ass. And McCain has a little bit of that, but it's tempered with the whole, I served for this country. And let me tell you, he seems a little more grounded than Pat Buchanan does. So that's what he is. He's sort of a flavored version. He's flavored with Joe Mentum. We've got all these suggestions about what Joe Mentum would be. Most of them read like this. Jomentum flavored Viso. It would be bland, of course. No taste, completely unremarkable. I think Jomentum flavored Viso would just be water. All right, there you go. We ought to, there ought to be. There ought to be like a, we were just saying, there ought to be like a solid state flavored Viso. We'll have to get on that. We'll get some Rockstar calls here in a minute. Here's Tim Riley.
Pornographic movies now seem nearly as pervasive in America's hotel rooms as tiny shampoo bottles. And the lodging industry shows a little concern as conservative activists rev up or campaign against them. 13 of these conservative groups, including the Family Research Council and Concerned Women for America, taking on full-page ads in USA Today. But Kathy Shepard of Hilton and Roger Connor of Marriott say the bulk of their hotels are operated by franchise holders who make the decisions for in-room programming. They made clear, however, that their companies consider adult movies to be acceptable options.
The best thing about this is that Mr. Marriott himself, the guy who owns... Is it Steve Marriott? Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
Steve Marriott, who owns the Marriott Hotel chain, is a dyed-in-the-wool, hardcore, ultra-conservative, very straight-laced Latter-day Saint. But doesn't mind. The church apparently doesn't mind taking the 10% of his income that comes from people watching pornographic materials. I was going to use a cruder term there, but and that is where? What hotels? I want to make sure that I want to make sure that I patronize.
These are the Hilton and the Marriott.
And there ought to be some website. Because, you know, there's all of these idiot conservative types. It's the whole of, you know, this is thing, giving you things to boycott. Lists of places not to spend your money. Lists of places not to go. There ought to be some website that does this sort of reverse, like a reverse lookup site. but so you can only stay in hotels that stock pornographic films. Not even that you're going to use them. Just that I would like to stay at a hotel that chooses... Wait, no, hold on. I wasn't even prepared for that one. And finally, okay.
Patty Cake.
What?
Big lady.
Oh, hi there. You're listening to KCMD AM Portland. We have to break here, don't we?
No, we just broke.
Are you sure that wasn't the first break?
It
have
was
we consolidated?
The first break.
Did we consolidate?
I'm on top of things.
I'm not sorry, sister. I didn't mean to be all up in your business. Okay. Well, let's do a couple more here. Yeah. The news must be done. Yeah. And no further. And then we will...
So we're going to mix it up this time, right, with the Britney?
Oh, yeah, we got a Britney watch. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We'll do a few more stories here at the Ministry of Truth.
Yes. Yeah.
Then we will take a few of these. We're not going to do the Rockstar recap yet, but we will take some of these calls about Rockstar.
Okay.
People are calling about that.
And then what?
Sarah's going to taunt me with the fact that she's got spoilers. I will float this fantastic email that I... This idea that a guy emailed me about the resolution... of Rockstar Supernova. It's all very stressful. We'll talk about that. Talk about the top 10 Popeil inventions. I just say Popeil because it's a funny word. Later on, we'll have Jim Roop. Jen Lane will be here. We'll do the full recap and all that. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Time for Britney Watch.
Fantastic.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
See, my problem is this.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, Tokyo Subway has refused permission for an advertising poster featuring a nude and heavily pregnant Britney Spears, branding it too stimulating for young people.
Heavily pregnant
heavily
is the
pregnant.
Worst phrase ever.
Seriously, and here's a thing I wonder about. How shall I ask this question?
Is it a question that you need to have me say?
Is it about the Japanese?
Yes. No. Oh. It's about Asians as a whole.
They're always very smart, I know that.
And well-groomed. No, it is not about the Asian people. I got to add Asian to the encyclopedia, the little dictionary thing we have on the website. We'll talk about that later this week. Here's a question I have. I wonder this sometimes. Not that I plan to be pregnant, but I do wonder this. Yeah. Sometimes in science, okay, as mass is squared, volume is cubed. I believe that's how that works. And basically what that means is a human being, that's why people who are born with giantism or they're really huge, they don't live very long because their own weight effectively crushes them over time. It's like your bones can't hold, blah, blah, blah. And so you hear women who are, let's say, very well endowed, a woman who is generously endowed. No, I mean like Soleil Moon Frye well endowed.
Oh, like Chelsea Morgan.
Well, those women who have the freakishly large bosoms.
Chesty Morgan.
Yeah, like, yes, like a Chesty Morgan. Well spotted.
That's from my generation.
Yes. Or a Hootie McBoob. You'll hear about some of these women, and they say that, like, it's one of those things where actually the weight, and I'm speaking now medically and clinically and scientifically because of this, is a pressing issue for perhaps any number of women out there. But where the weight of the bosom itself, you know, it actually is heavy enough that it actually sort of pulls the skin taut, and it's kind of a painful thing. My question is, when you are pregnant, do you just walk around in a constant state of pain because there's this thing basically pulling on your stomach skin? Do you know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Horrible thought.
I guess I could have found a shorter way to ask that, but it's like, imagine this, Sarah. What if I...
You had a whole bag of Chips Ahoy cookies in one sitting.
No. But it's sort of like a pelican. You know,
a pelican.
You know, it's like how, you know, pelicans have got the little pouch, you know, the bill. And it's like, what if you just put a bowling ball in there? Well, that would hurt. Why? Because they're having to carry a bowling ball in their pouch, and it's heavy.
I don't think
heavy.
A pelican would be that stupid.
My question is walking around pregnant just constantly painful? Because it's like you're basically having a bowling ball held back by your skin. It doesn't seem like it could feel good at all.
I think there's more in between the bowling ball and the skin.
Maybe.
There's another thing folding that in.
There's foam, there's peanuts.
There's some padding.
Women are packed with bubble wrap and duct tape. That was a stupid question. Let's just move on.
So
anyway,
none of us can answer it.
Heavily pregnant, though, is an unpleasant phrase. Let's all agree on that, shall we?
Yes.
And why do they remove it? Because it's too what?
Stimulating for young people.
Yes, that's exactly. You know, here's what it stimulates: the desire to never get pregnant. That's what it stimulates.
Well, that's what's already happening in Japan anyway. They have a problem with that.
Stimulates the that's no problem at all. Stimulates the desire to buy condoms. That's
most
what that
women
stimulates.
There live alone.
Really?
Of childbirthing age, yes.
Of birthing age. Why do it's expert on Asian culture, Tim Riley. Why do the women in Japan live alone, Tim?
They prefer it that way. They don't want to be bothered.
Is there something wrong with their men, or?
Well, no. I mean, they're the breadwinners of the house, just as they have become breadwinners in America, because I was looking at this other article that shows nearly a third of married women now earn more money than their husbands in America itself.
All right.
And that from Maureen Dowd, and she must know what she's talking about.
What would you be using a picture of a heavily pregnant Britney to even sell? Does it say what the product was?
She has that perfume line.
Oh, it says here, something about Harper's Bazaar. The picture of the pop singer, nude but covering her breasts with her arms and crossing her legs at the knee, appeared in the August issue of Harper's Bazaar and will be on the cover of the magazine's Japan edition in October.
Okay.
The publishers also hope to display the cover photo for a week at a subway station at a trendy park of central Tokyo.
All right.
I ran into resistance. We thought some of our customers would find it overly stimulating. Says the Tokyo Metro. A Harper's Bazaar could not be reached for comment. Not all is lost. The Metro and the publishers agreed to display the poster. After all but masked the picture below the former teen idol's elbow with the statement reading, "We apologize for hiding part of a beautiful image of a mother-to-be."
I'm so confused. Should we have somebody weigh in on this? This heavily pregnant issue?
No, there's also another Britney story where Jessica Simpson tried to kiss her stomach backstage.
What?
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, let me get this first, and then we'll get that. Mm-hmm. Good God. What's wrong with this world? Jen, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. You do realize the baby is in a uterus inside.
What's that? Now, I know. I understand that.
My own personal experience when I was, quote-unquote, heavily pregnant.
When is that? Is that, like, from the... is there a specific month at which you become heavily pregnant, or is that just... Is that just defined by the period of time during which you wake up and wish you were dead?
The whole time I was pregnant, I was great. I did not. I loved it the whole time. It didn't bother me. I wasn't in any pain. I know some women get very uncomfortable. Probably my son was born in March. So January, February, March was pretty much I was fat and pretty much Britney looking there with the she's got those big arms, her breasts are coming out everywhere, and yeah, so it's pretty much from there on. So okay. About the last 3 months.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, Jen. I appreciate it.
Sorry.
That. No, then not at all. Thank you. All right, there you go. All right. Let's never talk about that again.
I think we should exchange recipes.
Let's have the second half of this Britney watch.
I don't have the copy.
Well, there wasn't really a copy. I was going to print it for you, but it's just like two sentences.
And what is it? Oh, God. It's not another one of those, like, it's not one of those stories where somebody comes up to a pregnant woman and wants to touch her stomach and talk about how you look. It's so magical. I can feel the energy.
Backstage at the Teen Choice Awards, Jessica Simpson asked Britney Spears if she could kiss her pregnant belly.
Ah.
Spears responded, "Hell no."
Excellent. Good for her.
Jessica was really insulted, but Britney refused to let her do it.
Well, I will say this. That again, I'm not a guy who tries. It's not like I go out of my way to try to associate with a lot of pregnant people. But I will say, that's what I feel for pregnant women there, because I have witnessed it. My sister was pregnant. I witnessed this. If you are a pregnant woman in this society, and again, I don't mean it to sound like a Tom Likas thing where I'm like, pregnancy is stupid. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying, if you are a pregnant woman in this society is so child fetishistic. We have such a baby fetish in this country that if you are a pregnant woman. And you all know, I should have asked Jen, the woman who's just on.
Well, if you work in cubicle land, you have to be.
You know that if you are pregnant, strangers think they can come up and touch your stomach. You know it's true. And Sarah is recoiling just at the... Imagine if a guy thought that he could just come up and, like, grab one of your buttocks or something. Oh, it's, can I... The magic of your buttocks. It's so amazing. They put off a glow. Nobody would do that. He wouldn't think you could just go up and massage somebody's lower lip. Which would be goddamn weird. If you're pregnant... people, especially other women, feel like they can come up and what they'll like pat you on the stomach and they'll go, you know, like, oh, it's going to be a beautiful baby, or you have such a beautiful look about you when you're pregnant. I saw it happen with my sister. We'd be at the store. People she did not even know would, especially now that we're full on into this, when you are, as they say, heavily pregnant, and sometimes that shirt doesn't quite cover it, and there's the little exposed bit of your stomach. And so, here's a true story, and I swear to God, it's the last thing I'll say about it. It's a true story. It was with my sister at a supermarket, one of her kids, she's pregnant, I forget which one, but she's pregnant with one of her kids, and we're walking through, like, the produce aisle or something, and my sister's walking along, just sort of like, oh, I hate my life, oh, this sucks. Woman comes up, doesn't know me, doesn't know my sister, doesn't know either of us. Several stages. A says, and does the McRibbis back noise, touches the stomach, and then I swear to God, leans down and puts her ear up against my sister's stomach as though she's trying to figure out if a cassava melon is ready to be sliced. Like, for what possible reason would you do that? So,
this is still crazy.
Oh, yeah. As Scotty is noting, the woman with the obligatory, the baby shirt with the arrow pointing down. That whole line of, like, have you seen... God, do you want to know the most horrifying thing? Dennis Pitzenbarger, by the way, was not at Rockstar Supernova last night. Did we all notice that? Dennis, I'm going to get a babysitter. I'm going to... Being married and having a kid doesn't mean I can't have a life.
That guy is whipped. And he was so excited, too.
Until he found out it was at 10 o'clock, and then it was like, I don't know, 10 o'clock seems awful late for a baby having, man. Do you want to know the single worst thing I've ever seen in my life? And it's not like a graphic, it's an inanimate object, but it's baby related. Do you want to know the single worst thing ever?
Sure.
Pardon me. So we're at Dennis's house playing poker a couple weekends ago, and I forget who it was who showed this to me. I think it might have actually been him. Where he's like, oh, I know you think I'm a big sissy for having a baby, but, I thought you'd like to see this. And as a way to sort of prove to me that he was still like a Hepcat kind of guy, even though he's got the kid, he brings out, like, I'm not trying to knock the baby. The baby's not old enough to fight against bad clothing. You know, baby's got to wear whatever you put on them. They're small. Their bones are like rubber. They can't fight. So they're totally, like, fashion victims, literally, for, like, the first 10 years of their life. They can't do anything. So he has this tiny little ensemble that he puts on his baby. It's, like, a top, like a shirt, and then, like, the kind of the, you know, whatever, like the, like, pants, and it's fabric-y. And then the top half says it's the KISS logo. And so it's the KISS logo with just, like, little caricatures of Gene, Paul, Ace, and Peter. And I'm like, oh, a little KISS shirt for your baby. That's kind of cool, you know. Rock, you know, whatever. And then the bottom also says the KISS logo on the back. And then I swear to God, on the front, it says, rock and roll all night, potty every day. Right there. And he was showing it to me with such great pride. So sad. Oh, look, Dennis is calling with his excuse for not... Oh, and he hung up. Oh, and he hung up. What a surprise. He just ran away. Okay.
Maybe Randy doesn't even know what a wild child Dennis used to be.
No. Maybe he had to go buy some Harley clothing for his baby. All right, let's do one more with Tim Riley, and then we'll get these calls.
I don't know if I can continue after.
And it'll say Born to be Wild. And it'll be like a little pair of plastic diaper pants. It's Born to be Wild.
Should we end the Britney watch?
Yes, let's
end. Sure. I think I did it again. I think it works better the other way.
I think so, too.
I think that works better as the open. And for some reason, that guy going, wait, Brittany, I've got something to... That somehow, it works better as a close. It's sort of a recap of the whole thing, because it's like a wait before you go kind of thing. All right, let's do one more, then we'll get these phone calls later on. Jim Roop, Rockstar Recap, and Ron Popeil.
Let's see what I'm going to do here.
I should be using this. I got this kind of throat thing going on today. I should be making some money with this. Hey, somebody out there, give me some voice work. I really, like, the next couple of days, I should be voicing spots or something. I should be out there just, like, Dave Paul getting some of that. Thank you for calling Webster Law Offices. Your call is very important to us. I could do that right now. I could go voice some crap for KUFO today. Like a whole lot of, you know, KUFO sending you to see Disturbed. I could absolutely voice that stuff. By next week, I won't be able to do it anymore. Isn't Rob Zombie coming? Why pay the guy in Ohio to voice your Rob Zombie stuff? I'll do it today. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, thieves hauled off $100,000 worth of heavy equipment that was being used to build a memorial to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. A Bobcat excavator and a Bobcat T300 skid steer loader, which both require trailers or flatbed trucks to transport, were removed from the site sometime between midnight and 6:30 a.m. In the neighborhood that remains nearly pitch black at night almost a year after the levees failed, the equipment didn't last 3 days at the site.
Ouch.
It takes a lot of guts, says the president of the Walton Construction Company. I've never seen this in my entire career.
Good to see the government has really made a go of it there.
National Guard soldiers have been keeping an eye on the construction site at the request.
Clearly. Not actually helping or stopping anything, just sort of observing.
I don't know what broke down, said the owner.
Okay.
It could look as if the thieves were the owners of the equipment moving it off. It's just ironic, said the president.
Yes, don't you think? All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Well, we should just take these calls. Let's go through these calls here. Then we'll break. Then we'll have more from Tim Riley, just so we can hear the Soviet news. We'll have Jim Roop and so forth. We'll get Tim, Lauren, Janice, et cetera. Dennis Pitzenbarger. Wait, hold on.
Hello.
Hold on. Let me try to find some...
Patty cake.
There you go. Hello, sir.
I am, I guess, I don't know. I have to take my lumps. I admit it. I had it all set up to get the wife and I down to Dante's last night.
The wife.
To realize that it was, you know, we were going to be home by 10:30, 10:45. Those things, though, no matter how much you want to, you have to plan them out. So.
No, wait a minute. When you say 10:30, 10:35, and you didn't even start till 10.
No, that's what I see. I did not realize that it didn't start until 10 last night. I thought it was from 9 to 10.
Oh, I see.
Even though you were sitting here next to us all day yesterday,
even though
we were talking about it.
Yeah, on a radio station that where we were broadcasting to thousands and thousands of people telling them that it started at 10 o'clock.
I didn't realize that until we were on air.
Oh, I see.
That's why I said after the show, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'll tell you what, I will make it up to you. I will, since Sarah, I know you drink, I will buy you drinks next Tuesday. We will make it if it's from 9 to 10. And you don't drink, Rick. What I'll do is I'll just drug your soda.
Thank you. You'll just drug me and sexually assault me in a bathroom.
Hey, if he's going to buy me drinks, no more complaints out of me.
It doesn't really matter. We're not thinking of ourselves, Dennis. We get to see you a lot. We get to see you every week. We're thinking of you here. I would hate for your life just to be one completely coated in Similac and lacking in any sort of adult human interaction. How far in advance do you have to schedule a babysitter?
Well, we scheduled it for a week from yesterday.
But I'm saying, last night, like how far in advance would you have had to know to move the babysitter around? In other words, how much notice would you have needed to show up last night?
Well, when we set that plan for last night, we set it on the Friday before.
Uh-huh.
And it was still kind of a let-me-make-sure thing.
Uh-huh.
Now that we know that we flipped the time,
yes.
We just said, hey, we got to cancel the night because we know you can't go that late.
Let me ask you this. How much does a babysitter cost these days?
Well, we don't really pay the babysitter because the babysitter is grandpa and grandma.
We don't turn her in. Oh, I see. Okay. So this is where you just pawn her off on older relatives. Way to be.
Well, you know, I mean, I am in the broadcast field as well.
Yes.
And we all lucrative that can be.
Yes, no, it's absolutely true. Well, all right, sir. Well, it's okay. We're only thinking of you. We're trying to give you a richer life even as you enter fatherhood.
Well, I appreciate that. And I swear, if I have to rob, steal, pillage, whatever it takes.
Just bring the baby inside a sack if you have to. Just put the baby in a bag. We'll put it under the table.
Only if I can have Dayton wear the kiss outfit.
Okay. You go ahead. Who bought the... let me ask you this. Who bought the outfit that says rock and roll all night, potty every day?
Who do you think bought that?
I honestly... if you
Dennis did.
I did.
Really?
She's got that. She's got motorcycle equipment. She's got little jerseys. I mean, I know that she's a little girl, but I have full intentions of at least skewing her look on life, at least towards a little bit of tomboy.
Okay.
She can be girly in the later parts of her life, but I still want to get her on a dirt bike.
You have no idea how much I was hoping it wasn't you that bought that. Because here's the thing. If it was, and no disrespect to Brandy, she's a great person, I'm just saying, I suspect that of the two of you, you know, you're kind of the Kiss guy and she's maybe less of a Kiss fan. I'm saying if your wife had bought the rock and roll all day, rock and roll night, potty every day thing, then it's like I would excuse it as, oh, this is, you know, this is cool. You know, his wife saw some Kiss stuff and thought it would be cool. That's sort of a cool take on, you know, she's trying to get something that is, she's trying to make you happy by doing that, you know. And maybe it's not exactly the right thing to get, but it's points for try. It's the thought that counts. The fact, how much did that cost?
Oh, I don't know, like $8
or something. Okay, I'm just saying, I'm just making the observation that perhaps you are poisoning the well early, because if there is any sure way to make sure that your kids will not embrace what you want them to, it's to shove it on them from day one. You raise your girl to be a Kiss fan, she's going to come home wearing nothing but like gold grills in her mouthpiece. Yeah. Tim is pointing out you got to dress her in Barry Manilow pajamas. That's the only way to make sure that she embraces rock and roll, sir.
I guess it's maybe time to go buy that Paul Wall box set.
That's what I'm saying. All right, thank you. Dennis Pitzenbarger for the Portland Tribune.
See you next week,
thank
guys.
Thank you. All right, there you go.
It's crazy how just anybody can have kids, you know?
Yeah, it does. As Keanu Reeves once opined, you even got to have a license to buy a fish. Or whatever. Janice, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
I was just calling to talk about the pregnancy.
Lucky us.
I know. Aren't you excited?
Yes, I really am. Is this going to involve the word lactate at any point?
No, because it's disgusted by you guys, and I have two kids.
God bless.
I'm going to an OB appointment right now, too, actually. Isn't that ironic?
I asked, do your children know that you're disgusted by the whole thing?
I know.
You should be sure to tell them that, like, in moments of anger.
They do not yet.
Okay.
But my take is that it totally feels like a bowling ball in your stomach. It's painful from, like, month 5 or 6 on.
Is it? Let me ask you this, because this applies more to Sarah. Not that Sarah plans on having children, but you know what? A little additional reinforcement of existing beliefs never hurts. So
okay.
The actual birthing procedure, to whatever extent you can remember it.
I had C-sections, two of them.
Oh, really? So you did not actually go through the whole horrible shrieking, ow, ow,
but
ow.
But you know what's funny about that?
And no.
It's bizarre, since I hated pregnancy so much, I feel like I missed something since I didn't get to do that.
Yeah.
But I know that's bizarre.
Yeah.
But
There was this one time a guy wanted to cut off my junk with a fish scaler, and I said no, and then I just felt all empty ever since then.
Well, you want to be cut open with a knife instead?
Well, yes, okay. I believe the answer is, I mean, really, if my options are that or pushing out a zucchini, you know, out of a small, tiny, tiny little area, I'm going to go with the knife every time, absolutely.
Okay, well, and I had practice you don't want to hear about that, but I had to have C-sections for a reason. And then the other thing is, yes, people touch you all the time, and it's awful, and it's invasive, and it's disgusting, and, hey, I love people touching me as much as the next person, but when you're pregnant and they're touching your belly, bizarre.
And you'd be like at the supermarket, somebody crumb, can I touch your stomach? Is it,
yes.
It's the miracle of life.
No, the worst part is, Rick, is your coworkers. These are people I've worked with for 15 years, and they come up and they want to touch your belly.
Oh, that's totally like The Office come to life.
It is The Office come to life, exactly.
Oh, God. All right. Are you planning on having more children?
Maybe, maybe not.
Oh, that means yes, by the way.
That's, I'm 37. I'm too old.
Hey, you know what? I got to tell you, my mom was, when my mom had my younger brother, she was 39, I think.
Oh, God. Okay.
Which explains a whole lot about that kid's mental state. All right. Thank you, Janice.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. There you go. That's Janice. All right.
Maybe if these ladies walked a poodle, and for everyone who wants to touch the baby, they can just, please pet my poodle.
No, I'm telling you, the key is have a poodle, work with old people. Does wonders for getting rid of the desire to have children. I'm here to tell you, brothers. Tim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Heavily pregnant is one of those word pairings.
Hold on. I'm bleeping both of those, by the way. Hold on. Let's just stop. I'm just telling you why.
Thunder Redstone might be listening.
I'm just telling you why. I am not bleeping those because I believe that the FCC would frown on them. Strangely enough, that first phrase you used was actually the single worst thing I think I've heard in about 6 months.
Sure.
Working.
Welcome, by the way.
Yes, all right.
But anyway, my girlfriend is a professional vocalist as well, and she made a great observation about Dye Job, whatever her name is.
Oh, Delana.
Delana.
Right. And so anyway, she said that she's kind of like Macy Gray, in what case, if somebody took her and her voice and wrote a song around her, you might get through one or two songs, but you'd never make it through a whole CD. But then if you kind of look at the opposite side of that coin, AC/DC has made a whole career of that guy with that voice. But if you took that guy and you put him in Van Halen or you put him in some other rock band, the Killers or whatever, you know, the thing would never fly. You can chomp on that. I wanted to ask Sarah really quick, what is absinthe like, and can I get it in the United States?
I don't know if you can get it in the United States. It's really pungent. It tastes kind of like licorice.
Let's talk about this for a minute. First of all, I'd like to thank you on being a fantastic caller. I know you were on hold for, and I mean that sincerely, apart from the phrase
about...
Can
I tell you something really quick, and I'm not, I kid you not, I am absolutely not kidding. I'm not kidding. While I was on hold...
You're kidding.
How about that laugh? That's radio. I actually made a bid on my first home. I swear I could send you the facts right now. Right here with my real estate agent, and she just left. I just made my first home purchase while I was on hold on the Rick Emerson show. How about that, CBS?
Very cool.
There you go. Thank you, sir. No, I was just going to say, you have all your thoughts. They're ordered. They put in little mental Tupperware things, and you're opening them one by one. It's very handy. Don and Mike do a yearly absinthe show. Now,
yeah.
I am unclear, though, about the legality of this. I believe absinthe may be like Cuban cigars in that...
Yeah, I had it when I was in England.
Legal to possess in America, but I believe not legal to get. I believe. I could be wrong, and I know, just like I know the back of my own hand, that somebody will call and tell us. But I believe you may own absinthe like you may own Cuban cigars. But you may not actually be caught in the process bringing them in. I think if they just sort of appear in your house, I think it's legal.
Yeah.
You had it in England, though.
Yes.
Right. And actually, I guess you can buy it out of a part of the Czech Republic, which is...
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You can buy babies over there if you want. I mean, literally, no, on spikes. I mean, already, you know, just on a stick. Sarah, how
no,
was...
No, it was...
Was it good? Was it great?
No, it wasn't great. It was really, really... Of course, it was really, really strong. That tasted a lot of, like, kind of sour and, like, licorice.
Was
like,
it the
almost.
Real deal? Was it the
yeah.
full-on
Yeah, somebody had brought it back.
Hallucinogenic?
When I was going to school there, everyone was traveling to all these different places, so people would bring it back.
And so did you hallucinate? Did you have, like, see the green fairy? And...
No hallucinations.
Did you have to actually burn the sugar thing, or was that...
Yeah,
did you catch
the Ripper?
No, that wasn't. It was just in a bottle. I don't know where they brought it back from. It was really strong. We all took a couple shots of it, and it did get you drunk very quickly.
Who was that? Who's the painter that was... Was it James Joyce? No,
Michelangelo.
But I was the writer, but it was James Joyce, I guess, who was also... James Joyce also very into absinthe. Was it Van Gogh as well?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's all very exciting. Absinthe is one of those things that I've never done because I'm boring. But that is... No, seriously, it's sitting there right next to all the other heavy drugs. And as soon as I'm like 65, I'm just going to sit around and do drugs constantly.
Well, pretty soon it's going to fall so far down the list that you're going to be drinking absinthe while eating from an automat. Because isn't that another thing on your list during your lifetime?
Yes, no, that is it is true. I'll just do them in alphabetical order. So so absinthe, then automat, then blow.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you, Rick.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, there you go. That's how to be a talk radio caller, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening. That's how you can be a talk radio. Because, see that guy is, hey, Rick, thanks for taking my call. Look, I got two observations. And you got the feeling that if I'd asked him to, he would have been that guy that was like, Rick, I'm going to give you my two questions and I'll listen to the answer off the air. Thank you so much. Spreading the word. You know, totally gave us CBS, bought his first house, was to the point, concise, funny. All right. Here we go.
We need to break.
But we got Jim Roop here.
Oh, but we're so behind.
All right, well, let's see if Jim Roop can hold, shall we?
Yes.
Well, we won't play his theme music here. We'll just wait. Let me, if I can...
Uba Shabayat.
All right. Jim Roop, hello, sir.
Hello, sir. Yes, I can wait. No problem.
Or could we call you back, Jim?
Would it be easier if we called you back? What works the best?
How damn long is that break?
Like 40 minutes. I don't know. Five. We shouldn't say.
Well, you tell me.
CBS would probably frown on us going on. We will be gone for exactly 5 minutes and 14 seconds. I don't know. It's a regular standard radio break these days, which... No, in no more than half an hour, I'd imagine.
I can call you back. What time?
I don't know. Get like 35?
Sure.
Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you in just a few.
You bet.
All right, there you go.
Bye.
Jim Roop. That's what I'm talking about. All right.
I'm very proud of you.
Patty cake.
Not like I called you patty cake.
Sarah, you're a goddamn whore.
Whatever, patty cake.
Patty cake.
I don't even know where that's from. We should do some sort of reverse.
I'd rather be a whore than a patty cake.
You know what to do with that, Scotty. All right.
Scotty still needs to find me calling you a whore. Don't even push that button, Rick.
I'm not. My hand is going nowhere. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. You stay there. Hello. I'm just reading this up. There's an email about this guy has this theory about rockstar supernova.
Was it the same one I just talked about?
No, that's actually different.
That's
a different
weird
spoiler. That one kind of it's not even really a spoiler. It's just sort of a bit of information.
Well, you know that stuff is possible too.
It's totally possible. All right. Talking about things no one understands.
Sorry.
What stuff is that?
No, it's not important. It's 503-733-2970. We'll talk Rockstar Supernova here in just a moment. 503-733-2970. I'm sorry, I've got some. If it sounds like I'm doing a frog, I got some ginger roots stuck in the corner of my mouth here. So
could happen to anybody.
Yeah. No. It's intentional. I just have it. I pinch between my cheek and gum. Gives me all the blah blah blah. No, because I have that Singer Saving Grace stuff, which Janitor John and Nate, actually, years. Remember when we were at Billy Reed's during the White Trash party?
Mm-hmm.
After the listener parties, it's legendary that I always come in and my voice is always trash and whatever. And I asked those guys, I'm like, you guys are in bands. You have to, you do the screaming and the yelling and the so forth. What's the deal? And they all, without hesitation, like, Singer Saving Grace, because it has ginger in it. And I have some of that, but I've managed to lose it. And then last night, all of the sort of hippie trippy stores, which is where you buy that stuff, they were all closed. All that was open is Safeway. And, of course, Safeway, as I've already noted, sons of bitches, will no longer... I shouldn't bag on Safeway. Oregon and our government here and our legislature in Oregon, they have now decided to remove anything that actually contains, useful, effective ingredients from the shelves. I noted this exact same brand like an hour ago, but goddammit... You used to be able to go in and buy Sudafed. You just had to wait in line and sign your name in a book, and you had to go see the pharmacist. Now you can't even do it. Now it is actually illegal. Selling you Sudafed with... Sudafed! I'm not even talking about... I mean, this is just regular freaking Sudafed. Like, the little guy, the little red pills that you push through the foil that come in the box. You now need a prescription for. Because, you know, we're all goddamn 10 years old. Because we all need to be coddled like idiots. So,
the government's like the nursemaid.
So I'd like to thank the government, by the way, for stepping in to help me and by doing so, ensuring that I can't actually get any of the medicine I really need. Thanks so much for that. Thank you.
It's for your well-being.
It really is. I feel so much safer with the government protecting me. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Los Angeles. I'm going to smile now because it pulls at the corners of your heart. Jim Roop. Hello, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm a little embittered. How are you?
What's the matter? Didn't go well last night, huh?
I'm just saying. I mean,
now he's sick and grumpy.
I'm not really that grumpy. Actually, all
you're
things
actually doing
considered,
better than usual.
More sick than grumpy.
I'm doing better than usual.
There are grumpy sick people and there are kind of loopy sick people. I'm loopy sick. You're grumpy sick.
I was grumpy yesterday. That does not by the way, I'd like to say I was grumpy yesterday, but I stand by my criticism of that guy Terry who called up and was lambasting us about the JonBenet Ramsey coverage. My wife laid into me about that when I went home. I stand by that. I will pander to the lowest common denominator with the best of them. I am here to give the people what they want. I care not for the calorie content of our news.
This is
NPR.
If
you don't give it to them, they'll go someone else for it.
That's it. If they don't get it from me, they're going to get it on the street, baby.
That's right.
No, I was a little bit grumpy yesterday. Today, actually, I function pretty well attitudinally when I'm sick. But, you know, it sounds obvious, but you don't realize how dependent you are. I know it sounds dumb for a talk show host to say this, but you don't realize how much your voice is everything. Your voice is just you. That is your Achilles heel, literally. Not literally, but figuratively. Very much, in a very real way, it's my Achilles heel. And so I hate it. I hate being sick, and I know Sarah and I have talked about this, because you know what? There's no, it's because it's the most helpless feeling Because when something external is going wrong, you can fix it, you can put your hands around it, you can try to solve the problem. But when the problem is within your own body, when it's your own body just revolting against you, it's just the most angering, helpless, impotent feeling on earth because you can't do anything about it. And on a day like today, that's kind of where that that puts me. But anyway, how's life with you, brother?
Comparatively, pretty damn good.
Do you guys have the big alleged meth problem there in California?
No, it's not alleged.
I mean, it's an actual... I only say that because we have a lot of meth users in Oregon, but there's been some speculation that the government sort of overstated the seriousness of the issue a little bit in order to pass some sort of sweeping and very draconian anti-drug measures, such
well,
as...
There are areas that are what we would call a hotbed for meth around here, certainly in the inland areas.
Hollywood Hills.
Desert areas. Yeah, I mean, it's... You wouldn't find them in downtown Burbank, but you'd find it out and about.
All right. Well, anyway. So I just got... It was one of those things they've been talking about doing legally for a few months, and I just didn't pay any attention to it. And I got used to when I would go to buy Sudafed every now and again, because this happens to me like twice a year while I get the head cold. And, you know, and I just kind of get the sinus congestion or whatever. And I got a large nose, so it can hold a lot of congestion. And I will go to the store, and I'll put my name in the book and whatever. But I have somehow overlooked the fact that they were just going to make buying Sudafed. Regular over-the-counter Sudafed is now illegal to buy.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just...
Anywhere.
Insane. Is off? Well, apparently not. I think in Washington State you can still do it. I believe in Washington, which actually raises the question. Somebody asked me this.
It's going to cause a massive traffic jam now.
Somebody, attention hooligans, somebody raised the question of could I have one of my Vancouver listeners buy me Sudafed or buy Sudafed and send it to me in the mail. I'm not telling you to do it because I don't know if it's illegal. I honestly don't know. My friend Joni lives in Vancouver. I'm sorry to drag you into a local discussion. You have no interest in Jim Rowe, but I'm just saying, if I had my friend Joni in the couve, as we say, buy some Sudafed, stick in the mail, send it to me, is she committing a crime?
That's a good question.
These are the things that keep me awake at night. Not really. Let's talk about Tom Cruise.
Put Tim Riley on that one.
Tim Riley?
Yes.
Will you look into that for me?
I certainly will.
Okay.
Can I have the keys to the car?
You're Scotty's. So Tom Cruise, and I was saying earlier, the great thing about being really old is that you don't have to care what people think. Ditto for being really rich. And so when you're Sumner Redstone and both, you don't have to give a good damn what anybody thinks. And that comes out when he says things like Tom Cruise's behavior being unacceptable.
Yeah, well, it is.
It really is. So what is the spin from Paramount, and what is the spin from Tom Cruise's people on this?
Well, Paramount, or Sumner Redstone, really, is saying, look... And a couple of, there's really two things that are in his craw more than anything else, and that is the jumping up on Oprah's couch when he professed his love for what's her name, Katie Holmes,
right?
And then, you know, coming down on Brooke Shields for using medication to take care of her postpartum depression, his disdain for psychology, and his big advocacy for Scientology. So, you know, really, it's those four things that really. Sumner Redstone's been fed up with the whole thing. And all this has happened over this past year, so he's just angry about the whole thing. Tom Cruise's side, at least from his production partner, you know, it's that, well, we didn't get fired, we quit. You know, they were going to look for independent financing anyway, and this was just an opportunity for them to pull the deal off the table, and so everybody's got their side to things. I think, really, it's Paramount's decision. Not Tom Cruise and his production partner.
Is it Paramount's position that Tom Cruise being openly crazy is costing them money?
Yeah, it cost them $100 to $150 million in bad publicity, lost box office receipts. I mean, the War of the Worlds and Mission Impossible 3 were supposed to do a heck of a lot better than they did, and he's directly attributing that to the antics, the off-screen antics of Tom Cruise over the past year. But Cruise has always been one of those guys where you either like him or you hate him.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's got his fans that no matter what he does, they're going to go see his movies. And he's got people that just hate him no matter what he does. There's no gray area there. There's nobody on the fence that'll go either way. So you either like him or you hate him.
I do actually feel it for a while. I mean, it's not like I was a member of the Tom Cruise fan club, but I mean, he was a fine guy. Didn't have any problem with him. He made decent movies. But we have taken a little internal poll in the studio here, and actually, I know Sarah and I both said that as of this, it's just because I don't want to give my money to a guy who's in my opinion aggressively unstable and nutty.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take my business elsewhere. Thank you very much. So,
well, you know, and Redstone's thinking, man, if I give this guy another $10 million, that's a whole nother year I had to deal with it. So let's just. let's just cut ties now. He said, no, it's not that I don't like him. He's a good actor. He's okay. He said just what you just said. But it's just a bad business deal for us.
Well, and not only that, you got to look at it this way. The Sumner Redstone is the chairman or CEO or whatever, the head of Viacom.
Viacom, right.
You got to figure he loses the money like three different ways. If he gives Tom Cruise $10 million, or not even that, let's say he gives Tom Cruise $20 million to do a movie. He's out the $20 million he's paid Tom Cruise. He's out, let's say, the $30 million of lost box office from people who will no longer, who will not see the film because it has Tom Cruise in it. Mm-hmm. And he is out on intangible, but undoubtedly multi-million, many, many millions of dollars that are intangible but still real in bad publicity, which you can't really quantify or put a price. So he loses the money three ways if he gives any to Tom Cruise right now.
Can you imagine what the rest of Hollywood would think if he went ahead and renewed this deal after the year Tom Cruise just had?
Let me ask you this. To what extent do you think this is just about Tom Cruise, and to what extent is it a little bit of a implied warning to other actors to we will cut you down if you start causing trouble?
I think it's a lot of that. I can't say it's 50-50. I think it's a lot of the latter, because after the Mel Gibson thing and with the Tom Cruise thing, this is a perfect opportunity for somebody to make a statement, for somebody to say, we're not taking this anymore. If you're going to act like an idiot with all your money, well, then you're not going to get any money from us anymore. And even though you may not need it, for all we know, Tom Cruise and Mel Gibson are in a room with all their money going, okay, let's see, I dare you to do this now. And
right.
That's what happens.
Right.
You know, for all we know, that's what's going on. But I think it's just somebody finally putting their foot down, saying, this is ridiculous. Nick Nolte, Tom Cruise, whoever. It's just ridiculous.
The best
box office poison.
Yeah, the best part about this was actually that on the same day that Paramount told Tom Cruise to go stuff it, that Trey Parker and Matt Stone of South Park signed a new 2-picture deal with Paramount.
Isn't that beautiful?
Which you know the whole mess that the whole those guys with that Scientology episode. So
yeah.
Sometimes it almost makes one believe in God. It really does. Sometimes good things can happen. All right, Jim Roop, brother, enjoy the Southern California afternoon, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Hey, man, it'll get better, okay?
I will. I think I'm turning a corner here.
All right.
All right, thank you, man.
Okay, bye.
There you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, live in Los Angeles. All right. All right. Okay.
Let's break and then come back with Supernova. I hate it when you do that. It's so gross.
Okay. Let me see who's on the... Who's on the... Or as Wolfman said, who's on the Wolfman telephone? Oh, that was a little unnerving. That was pretty
very
good.
Well.
That was pretty good, actually, just there. I got baby chickens to sell.
Yeah. I've got a terrible cocaine habit.
Scotty, please to excerpt out.
I hope you choked on it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All right, Scotty.
We're in the same room with an
excerpt out tip saying I've got a horrible cocaine habit. Just so you know. All right. Sarah, be thinking about these subjects. When we get back, Max is going to weigh in on absinthe. Dee is going to ask, is Jessica Simpson's star crashing to Earth? So, Sarah Dillon, I know you have thoughts on those subjects.
Sure.
All right, Dee, Max, you get to you when we return later on. Rockstar recap with Christian from accounting. More from the City Desk with Tim Riley. You stay right there. It's 503-733-2970. You stay right there. Don't go anywhere.